stand for the reading of God's holy word. And we thank God for all of the people who are gathering on the various social media platforms, which I do not know much about, but we have others here who do. I am told, is it 13 platforms or 16 platforms back there in the back? I'm told that it's 13 platforms that we're on around the world, and we know that that is true because we receive many forms of contact, people asking for us to pray for them, pastors, evangelists, ministries, other ministers, asking us to come over to preach, and some are getting saved, some are coming back to the Lord, and many different requests for things that they need in the ministry, and we thank God. We just got through praying for people who got saved through this ministry, through the preaching, and who have rededicated their life to the Lord. And we thank God for each and every one of you. I want to ask you to do me a favor and continue to pray for my throat. It's coming back slowly, and I just need a few more people to pray with me. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. As I preach in your hearing, a simple message titled Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks, and Repeat. Part 9, if the Lord tarries, he's coming. We'll be doing part 10 on next Wednesday. Praying through the Bible, the overall series. This is message number 344. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. The Bible reads, rejoice evermore. God is using Paul to speak to Christians. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And now over this message and the message to come next week, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live, we're going to show you how this all works together. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we understand that without you, we are nothing, because you created us. And how dare we think that we are something without you? Have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of that kind of pharisaic pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness and disrespect and disobedience. Not only that, Lord, we cannot do anything for you without your strength and without your might. And that is one of the reasons why you want us to pray without ceasing. So, Holy Father God, once again, we come before your throne of grace, asking you for more grace and strength, anointing and unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit from on high, because we cannot function without your unction. For your word tells us it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. If your Holy Spirit does not move and connect to the hearts of the people, and to their minds, and to their spirits, nothing worthwhile would happen here today, and we all know it. And so, Lord God in heaven, we know the devil is fighting against us, and I'm so thankful that he is fighting against us. because that lets me know, Lord, that you're doing something with us. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor for the tribulations and the troubles. For you told us from the outset, as my mother used to say, from the get-go, that through much tribulation must we enter into the kingdom of God. Along the way, Lord, as we preach the gospel and share the gospel, open up the blinded eyes of those who are lost and their deaf ears, and save their souls. And Lord, help us to encourage somebody in the faith to keep on praying and never to give up. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we are in a rather long but wonderful and powerful series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible. A series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you to keep on praying and not to quit. To pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and stop quitting. To pray through the difficult times, Danae. To pray through the hard times of life. To pray through the tribulation times. I know we have some dear Christians who say they don't have things like that. Oh, but you do. You liar. If you are a born-again child of God, you just like the rest of us. You got some trouble hidden away down at your house. And you better stop trying to be cute and get on your knees and humble yourself before God and start praying. Can somebody say amen? You can fool some of the people some of the time. And you can fool all of the people some of the time. But you can't fool God. And you cannot fool the truly born again people of God. I know for a fact you need to pray and stop quitting. You need to keep on praying and stop trying to be cute. Stop trying to get inspiration from the little, from all of these people on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook sending you little positive thoughts, and you hang on to those things. They have nothing to do with the Word of God. They have nothing to do with God Himself. They have nothing to do with Jesus. They have nothing to do with the Word of God. And you get a little positive statement from YouTube, and you think that's going to get you through. My beloved, you're kidding yourself. Don't be deceived. You better get on your knees somewhere. You better grab hold of your wife, sir. Mama, you need to grab hold of your big old husband. Grab hold of your children, your teenagers, your adult children. You're committing a grave sin against God if you're not praying for all of your children by name. You better do it. You better do it. Talking your head off is not going to get it. Praying your head off will get it done. Because God is somebody who hears and answers prayer. And He'll do some things you can't do in a million years. He can do it in 5 minutes or less. We highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. I don't tell you where you can buy that because I'm not trying to sell anything. So far, we have completed 343 messages in this series. By the grace of God Almighty, and when I say that, I mean that. This is message number 344, titled, Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks, Repeat, Part 9. Now I must give credit where credit is due. My son Daniel White III is, Daniel White IV rather, is not a perfect young man by any means. But I have to give credit where credit is due. He found this very powerful, all-encompassing quote somewhere back in history. I think he takes joy in finding words that are hard for me to pronounce, but I'm going to do my best. He does most of the research for me. And helping with the sermons. My baby daughter, Danielle Elizabeth Breedlove White, my baby daughter, helped me today with the sermon. And you'll see that shortly. And I thank God for that. That's a blessing. One of the reasons why I got my son doing it, he's been doing it for years, to help me, because I wanted to make sure he involves himself with the Word of God, that he has to deal with the Word of God on a daily basis. And all of my children have helped me with my sermons and preaching the Word of God, and it's been a tremendous blessing and a tremendous help. But this quote I found very interesting, very powerful, and wraps up pretty much these three verses better than anything we have seen thus far. The Byzantine Archbishop Theophylact said, "Praying without ceasing shows the way to rejoice always." My God, that's so good. I have to say with Oprah, that's so good. It's amazing how God can give people insight to help them to see and to see how to connect things. So allow me to share the quote with you in full. He said, "Praying without ceasing, my God, help us, shows the way to rejoice always and to give thanks always." That is incessant prayer, praying without ceasing. And communion, my God, communion with God. For he that has accustomed himself to hold conversation with God and to give thanks to him over everything that happens, as happening well, will evidently have unbroken joy. Amen, somebody. Do you see how it's connected? Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. My God, help us. Now there's a few of us who, we got this. We understand it already. Everybody doesn't. We're trying to help you get there. It's all connected. One of the reasons why you're depressed, defeated, and disgusted, and contemplating suicide, and the devil is telling you you have no friends, that you're not pretty enough, you're not fine enough, you're not handsome enough to get the husband like the girl next door or the girl next to you in the pew. You're always the bridesmaid. You're always helping with weddings, but you're not getting married yourself. The devil is messing with you, trying to depress you and defeat you and disgust you and kill you. You know why that's happening? You know why you're so depressed? You're so defeated? You're so disgusted? You're so mad? You're so envious and so jealous of others? is so bad today, I had to show my baby daughter that even the dogs have picked up the spirit of the human beings. They're envious and jealous. They can't stand for the master to hug somebody else or to get a... Well, I don't kiss no dogs, but one dog in the video, husband was trying to kiss his wife. The dog jumps and grabbed her neck and started kissing her. And let me tell you something. I looked at that man. He was mad as the devil. I think he was mad for two reasons. Number one, the dog ought not to have no relationship with my wife like that. Number two, I ain't kissing no woman who don't kiss the dog, dog. Amen. People are envious and jealous. Now the dogs and the cats are jealous. I mean, they done picked up the demonic spirit from the human beings. You know why you're that way? Because you're not praying without ceasing. And you don't have that joy, that rejoicing thing going on, because you're not praying without ceasing. And you're not thankful for what God has blessed you with, because you're not praying without ceasing, and you're not rejoicing in God on command, not based upon our feelings. See, I know a secret about you that you have not told everybody else, because you want to make everybody think you're super spiritual and you're so holy. Well, here's the secret I know about you. You don't feel like praying in the morning. You don't want to pray with the other devilish people in your family. You're mad. In fact, you're still mad from last night about something. You let the sun go down on your wrath, and you're still upset. And you're not praying. You don't want to pray. Some of y'all don't get to praying. You get up at 8, go to work and all that, and you don't get to pray until way in the evening. And your day is shot and messed up. And you come back home to fight the devil in your family again, and you have not prayed like you should. And you're constantly defeated. You're constantly disgusted. You sit down dejected in the car. You're working your behind off, and people don't appreciate it. And you're mad as fire. You're defeated. You don't have a husband. You don't have a wife. Everybody else does. And you're mad about that. You're envious. You know why? Because you're not praying without ceasing. God is trying to say, hey, over here, little young person, look over here. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to the people out there. God is trying to say to you, over here, come talk to me. Pray to me. Some of you have these huge ups and down swings in your life, up and down swings in your life, because you're not praying without ceasing, and therefore you're not consistent. You're not balanced. You don't have any joy that you're supposed to have. Now, as I said the other day, some people are just not saved, but I'm talking to saved people right now who know exactly what I'm talking about. And you're not grateful and you're not thankful for what God has blessed you with. And the devil has got you duped, thinking that all the other Christians out there, when I see them in church, they're so happy and they got this going on and that going on. And why don't I have it like that? But what you're doing is you're out there faking just like they are. And everybody goes home thinking that everybody got it better than the other. No. Dear friend, if you are a born again child of God, whatever you're going through, other people are going through it. Don't let the devil isolate you and make you think stupidly like that. That's why we got so many depressed Christians and this epidemic of people committing suicide who are in the church. That's unheard of in Christian history. Unbroken joy is certainly something that we desire or should desire. Everybody ought to want that. I feel sorry for you if you have been so turned around by the devil that you don't want joy. And maybe if you're that way, you're lost. Because there are some people who get off on the opposite of joy. There's some people who love to be down in the mouth and love to be depressed and love to complain and love to murmur, love to be negative. You don't need to walk from these people. You don't need to skip. You need to run from people like that. Because the devil is using them to bring you down. What most of us miss, however, my beloved, is that it is also a command. I'm talking to saints right now. It is a command. Rejoice evermore. Do it. Well, things are not quite right. Do it. Well, she ain't acting right. Do it. Well, he's not doing what he ought to be doing. Do it. Rejoice evermore. He doesn't understand me. Do it anyway. She does not understand me. Do it anyway. The debts are real high. Do it anyway. The money is real low. Do it anyway. Rejoice evermore. Whatever you got, thank God for it. Pray about it without ceasing. And give God the glory anyhow. See, that's what we used to say 40 years ago. I haven't seen it. Some of you older saints, you know what I'm talking about. There were placards and bumper stickers and little cards and that said, praise God anyhow. Amen, somebody. Praise the Lord anyhow. Just praise the Lord anyhow. Makes no difference. See, let me tell you something, dear friends. Christians have been going through hell for over 2,000 years. Everybody. Okay? The Bible tells us that. And you're no different. If you're a child of God, you're going to catch hell. Excuse me. And the more you do for God, the more you serve God, the more you love Jesus back and serve him and obey him, the more tribulation you're going to catch. The Bible tells us to take action. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Things didn't go perfectly in the church service. Rejoice evermore. You have opposition from false brethren in the church, rejoice evermore. You have opposition in your own family. They tell you things like, you don't take all that praying y'all doing down there and all that. Rejoice evermore. Do it anyway. Give God the glory. One of the best things you can say, listen to me. You have people around you. Some are in your family. Some on your job. Some are in your church. Like crabs, as sure as I'm black and my last name is white, they're sent by the devil to pull you down where they are. In nothing land. Sad land. Depressed, defeated. Their goal in life is to get you depressed, defeated, and down like them. The best thing you can do for people like that is rejoice evermore. Amen, somebody. One of the ways we can remain in a joyful state of mind is by praying without ceasing. I'm here to tell you, you better do it. It's good medicine. It's good medicine. If you claim to be a Christian and you're mad about somebody telling you to pray without ceasing, then you may not be born again. And it saddens my heart to have to keep saying that. But everybody who talking about going to heaven ain't going. Everybody who say they're saved and born again and sanctified and they the head and not the tail and all that are lost and on their way to hell. They don't even know God. Many preachers don't know God. If you know the preachers don't know God, many people in the pew, they don't know God. There are preachers who can't even explain how to get saved. So in our daily lives, we ought to remain in communication with God Almighty. When the money is high, oh yes, and when the money is low. And you'll have your greatest temptation is not to pray when the money is high. Because we need him every hour, don't we? We need him every minute of the day. And here's where my daughter, my baby daughter, then yell, spelled with a Y. We have so many Daniels and Danielles in our lives, our families, our family. I have to spell it for you. My baby daughter, my last child. I asked her to find this for me, and she found it. And she inserted it in the sermon. Stanton Lee Ellicott and a few of his friends wrote a long time ago, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. We are constantly tempted to try to be strong in our own might, aren't we? We get off into willpower and I can do it. I can make it happen. So how you doing? How you doing? I'm talking to children of God. With your proud self, your stubborn self, you know you don't have it together, but you make other people think you have it together. That's the business of most people in church today. You know why? Because of the false prosperity gospel. You somehow have allowed yourself to be deceived and bamboozled that everything is supposed to be just absolutely wonderful and hunky-dory in your life. And it is not. Spiritually, it should be if you pray without ceasing. But you're not doing that. If you rejoice forevermore, if you're always giving God thanks in your soul and in your spirit, we ought to be able to sing with the songwriter who wrote so many years ago, it is well with my soul. But I might be catching hell on the outside, but with my soul, it is well. You ought to be able to sing that. One of my favorite hymns, I used to sing it when I was in Bible college. Used to sing it in the shower. In those early days in Bible college, right out of the Air Force, I discovered that song. When peace like a river. My. But God does not mind us leaning on him. We sung that early in this service. Now, y'all must understand, we do a whole lot of singing and praying before we get to this point. God does not mind it. He wants us to lean on the everlasting arms. Anthony J. Showalter wrote, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen, somebody. In fact, my beloved, we are told in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Who are you leaning on? Some of y'all are leaning on your dear sister girl in the church too much. Some of y'all are leaning on your Ace Boone Coon brother and your fishing buddy. Your sports buddy, too much. Some of you are leaning on the pastor too much. Bless the pastor's heart. And we got so many pastors trying to be like Moses before Jethro came, trying to bear everything. And they, you know what's happening to them? They're having heart attacks. Some are being tempted by the devil to blow their brains out because they're trying to do stuff that God never called them to do. What God called them to do is to give themselves to prayer. praying without ceasing, and to the ministry of the word. Amen, somebody. Oh, yes. That's what God called you to do, preacher. And that's what you better do. And you just tell people, here's what I'm going to do. You all are going to do all this other stuff. But here's what I'm going to do. I am going to give myself to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And then when I'm done doing that, I'm going to get my rest. Because you folk are not going to stress me out to death. There's nothing like spiritual warfare, my dear friend. And I can't explain it to you. I cannot show it to you. I cannot tell you about it if you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay? It's all invisible. You think preachers just got it so easy, so easy. That's for preachers who don't know Jesus and they're not serving God, man. I catch hell every day because of what I'm doing right now. I can't explain it to you. I'm not going to try to explain it to you. I don't bother myself with trying to express to you what is really going on. But I have told folk very clearly, I'm going to give myself to prayer for the rest of my life and to the ministry of the word of God. And that's it. And I'm going to take it easy and get my rest. And I'm not doing any more than that because that's enough. Every true pastor knows this. Every true preacher knows this. Every true evangelist knows this. And that's why we got so many pastors stressed out. They're trying to do everything. Go to their little pages, the Facebook pages. They this, they that. All this. Come on. You can't do all that. You're only one person, a human being. You're not God. God has called other people to do stuff. So they ain't doing that. I got, no, you don't. Let it fall apart. Let it drop. That's the only way they're going to learn to do what they're supposed to be doing. Let it go. Pastor, this has not been done for the past 3 or 4 months. Well, you know why? Because you have not done it. And I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to give myself to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And I'm not worried about anything else. We gain access, my beloved, to the power of God's might through prayer. And especially through praying without ceasing. It's a wonderful thing to stay in communication with the commander, the real commander in chief. God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, didn't they? So regarding this verse, Daniel Whedon said, the recipe of Paul for a perpetual rejoicing. I want you to see the connection today of praying without ceasing, giving God thanks without ceasing, leads to joy without ceasing. No matter what kind of hell you're going through. We get thousands of prayer requests. People are literally going through hellacious situations on earth. I mean, major stuff. The only way you're going to get through that is praying without ceasing. And while you're praying without ceasing, read the word of God along with that. And you will have peace that passeth all understanding and joy unspeakable. I promise you. Daniel Whedon said, the recipe of Paul for a perpetual rejoicing is in two words, pray without ceasing, or pray incessantly, is what he said. It's three words from the scriptures. He said, pray incessantly. It's the same thing. It means not necessarily being incessantly upon our knees, provided there be a perpetual submission of soul. It requires not perpetual utterance of words, provided there be a permanent communion of the heart with God. Yet that submission and that communion will often frame themselves in definite thought and positive words, and go out in vocal prayer for our own well-being and the highest good of others. Some of you parents, it was rough raising your children. Now they're adults and they're out there on their own, and all you say, "Well, I'm glad they're going out my house." No, my dear beloved friend, don't allow yourself to be deluded. They're still your children. And what you had better be doing is praying for them without ceasing. You better do that. That's the best thing you can do for your adult children. Yes, you can advise them, and they're going to do the same thing you did, rebel against your advice, as you rebelled against your parents. Your parents told you to do 10 things, and you went the opposite direction on all 10 of them. The best thing you can do is pray for your children. That's the best thing you can do for your adult children. Not to get them out of every mess they're in. Pray for them. Pray for them without ceasing. Now, here's the benefit for you, dear parent. Some of you worrywart parents. Here's the benefit for you. I assure you, if you pray without ceasing for your children, you will have peace, you will have joy, and you'll be prepared for anything that may come down. And let me tell you something else you ought to do. If God tells you to tell them something, like, girl, who is this you bringing home? You better not marry him. He's not worth a flip. Boy, what are you doing? Running with that crowd. See, God will tell you something. While you're praying without ceasing, God will tell you some things to tell your children. Now, you better tell them. Tell them in love. Tell them understanding they can do what they want to do. But here's what I'm trying to position you to be able to do. Tell them when it all hits the fan and it's a big old mess, your conscience is going to be clear. And you say what other people tell you not to say. I will say it in a heartbeat. I told you so, didn't I? Oh, yes. I told you so. I will say it, and you ought to say it. That's what we do as parents who have raised our children right. You get the privilege of saying, "I told you so." You didn't listen. Hopefully, you learn to listen. Praying without ceasing for your children. God will tell you certain things to tell them. Tell them. And you will have peace in your soul. And you won't be a worrywart anymore, person. And when the heart is in communion with God and the soul has an interest in his unchanging favor. And listen, people. T.D. Jakes was one of the first ones to talk about the favor of God in a big way. He blasted it on the scene. My being a non-charismatic preacher, Christian, a Baptist preacher, I was not big on that when that was coming out. But let me tell you something. The greatest thing you can have in this life as far as making progress in this life and doing great things and having doors open for you, my beloved, is to have the favor of God. And I cannot think of anything more important than praying without ceasing to make sure you have the favor of God on your life. Here's what favor will do for you. There'll be 25 people who want the job. They will have the qualifications and the resume. And you don't even match up halfway with these people. But God will touch that person's heart and cause him to see something in you, which will be Jesus, of course, because the only good you have in you is Jesus. And you'll get the job. That's when you show, see, all you have to do is show up when we're talking about the favor of God. You just have to show up. If you show up, something happens at that moment. I don't have time to deal with this. I'm not preaching on this. Maybe one day I will, because I've experienced this favor from God. And I want you to have it. But I don't have time to talk about it today. I hope you get what I gave you. I hope you got what I gave you. But back to the main sermon. And when the heart is in communion with God, and the soul has an interest in his unchanging favor, despondency, gloom, that darkness that's all around you, like you little Linus or somebody with Charlie Brown, and glowering. My baby daughter said, yeah, I got the wrong one again. Whoever has the cloud over his head, I forget his name, they always got this dark cloud, is always storming and raining over his head. People like that. I run from those. I run from people like that. I can't have that around me. Over earthly prospects and discomforts are out of place. End of quote. Another thing that will help us to rejoice evermore is to give thanks in everything. It is easy today to gripe and complain about negative circumstances, isn't it? And this comes naturally to all of us, to gripe and complain. What is Jerry Johnson doing down there with the Dallas Cowboys? He must want to keep them sorry. Got that old coach down there who don't know what he's doing. And, you know, that quarterback ain't going. He's another Romo. And we love complaining and griping. And we don't have a dime in the mix. And we don't know anything about NFL football, but we love to complain. What is Jerry doing? What? We just come, it's coming out. It's part of it. It's part of being a fan. But it just come out. I don't care what the Cowboys do. We complain and gripe. They don't even need that big old stadium out there. They're not going to win any games. That's why we just go on and on and on. It's just in us. But griping and complaining today does not beget joy. Giving thanks is not something that happens to us. It's like praying without ceasing. It is an action that we must take. We must do. Yes, my beloved, you need to understand that no, your Christian life is not going to be like it was when you first got saved, when God just swept you along for the first year and a half or 2 years. Man, and he just carried you. At a certain point in your Christian life, if you have normal growth in your life, you've got to sometimes just do it by faith. No feelings. In fact, in spite of feelings, you've got to do it by faith. You pray without ceasing by faith. And feelings oftentimes come. Sometimes they don't. While you're praying without ceasing, you've got to give thanks for all of the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. When you feel like it and when you don't. And you'll have a deep-seated, perpetual joy in your life if you pray without ceasing, give thanks always, you will rejoice evermore. And like many of the commands in Scripture, it does not come easy, does it? We often find that complaints are readily on our tongues. And you have people in your family who they're not happy about nothing. They are thorns in your flesh. Don't run them away. Keep them there. They're good for, 'cause you know why? They'll keep you praying. And you'll be rejoicing. They never will, because they're sent by the devil to try to pull you down. They're thorns in your flesh. However, those complaints come out of a heart that is lacking in prayer, lacking in thankfulness, gratitude. For truly grateful lives come out of grateful hearts by the grace of God. And through prayer, we can repeatedly turn our attention to the good things that God has done for us, and choose to be grateful for those things, even when we don't like it. Or we don't feel like it, rather. Even when we don't feel like it. Percival A. Chubb wrote, "We lift our hearts in thanks today, Danae, for all the gifts of life. And first, for peace that turns away the enemies of strife. And next, the beauty of the earth, its flowers and lovely things, the spring's great miracle of birth, with sound of songs and wings. Then harvests of its teeming soil, in orchard, croft, and field, but more the service and the toil of those who helped them yield. And most the gifts of hope and love, of wisdom, truth, and right, the gifts that shine like stars above to chart the world by night. As we receive, so let us give with ready, generous hand, rich fruitage from the lives we live to bless our home and land." Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father, God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for your encouragement from your holy word to pray without ceasing, to give thanks always, and to rejoice forevermore, to live the life of joy. Thank you for showing us how this is connected and how it works together and how it can alleviate all of the worry and the fear and the fretting as we lean on the everlasting arms. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help your people to get back to praying without ceasing, to do it whether they feel like it or not, and being grateful and thankful and rejoicing forevermore until we see you face to face by your grace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today, anywhere in the world, as I am being heard live in all of the countries of the world via the technology that God has wrought through human beings, and we thank God for those human beings. Some of them are not even saved, but God has used them to do something real good. We have technology now that was unimaginable 100 years ago, even 50 years ago. But if you're with us right now via this live broadcast and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior from sin and hell, in the free pardon of your sins, Danae, your first prayer should be what we call the sinner's prayer. Yeah. So first, please understand with me that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws and commandments, just as I have, just as the Pope has. It was so good to see the Pope making people not kiss his hand or his ring yesterday, because he's not God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including the Pope. And all priests, all preachers, ain't nobody better than you. We all are in the same boat. We all are wicked, evil, ungodly sinners. No matter how beautiful you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how handsome you are, no matter how much money you have, or what kind of house you live in, you're a wicked, evil sinner like I am. And that's the truth, and God knows the truth about you and me. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave because of sin. One day you're going to wake up and I'm going to be dead. Or one day I'm going to wake up and you're going to be dead. But we're all going to die. And we die because of sin. The wages of sin is death. It's a powerful law. Third, accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. I know that's bad news. And I know people don't want to hear bad news, but that's the truth. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. Hell is a place of continual torment and pain, gnashing of teeth, outer darkness, Jesus said, an agonizing, painful memory. You will remember every sin you committed. You will remember every time God sent a preacher by to witness to you or to give you a gospel pamphlet and you threw it, balled it up and threw it away and slammed the door in their face. Went to sleep in the church service. Hell is a bad place and hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who preached on hell, also said these words in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, you don't have to go to hell. By faith and trust in Christ, you can go to heaven. And Jesus didn't say you need to join the church to be saved. Jesus never said you need to be in a church building or a synagogue or some religious building to be saved. Jesus did not say you needed to get baptized to get saved. All of that is good. Jesus didn't say that you had to speak in some unknown tongue and run around the church or give money to the church to be saved. None of that is salvation. None of that is the proof of your salvation. Jesus Christ said, believe on him, trust in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Bible says, pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul and to change your life. Believing in your heart that he died for your sins. He suffered and he bled and he died for your sins as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. That includes your sins. He paid the sin debt. All you have to do is believe in him. God told me after I trusted him as Savior, Jesus Christ as Savior, to tell you And once you trust Christ as Savior, God wants you to tell others. Romans 10, 9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. Pardon me. Are you willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today with all of your heart and pray and ask him to save you? I'll be glad to lead you in prayer right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, wherever you are in the world, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again to save you from hell and to save you to heaven. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by lusting, by stealing, by taking your holy name in vain, by being disobedient and not honoring my parents, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways, and to follow you for the remainder of my life. By the power of your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, that is the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.